Good to see you folks tonight. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 42. Psalms chapter 42. My preaching in the last few months, God has changed the direction that I have been going. And my desire as I go further into God's ministry through the teaching of God's word is to hopefully allow God's people to fall further in love with Him. That's my desire. My desire is not to bring upon conviction. My desire is that you fall in love with the Lord more and more every single day. And with that being said, when the gospel is preached, conviction will happen. That's my desire. I don't know why God has changed that in my life, but I think it's important for us to fall in love with God every single day of our lives, meaning the Word of God should be precious to us. Our time in prayer that we do alone should be very precious and very real to us. Just having that intimate relationship with Him, that's my goal. And you know what? I love that goal right now. I think it's a fantastic place to be. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for this church and for us in the future. Tonight we're going to talk about the heart's desire. And I'm going to use an illustration tonight with a deer. And I know that the deer is not specifically mentioned here in Psalms chapter 42. But this is where God has led me. Let's read this whole chapter. And when we're done reading, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll go right into it. It says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. In the daytime and the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily to me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening again, for allowing us to, first of all, to have these doors open and to be able to worship you freely. God, I pray that you would just have the words that come out of my mouth would be first glorifying to you. I pray, Lord, that we would be edified through the teaching of your word. God, we ask that you just continue to protect us as we go forth from here throughout this week. Lord, as it's been mentioned, we have some ones that have gone before you. We pray for their families. We still have some that are homesick. Lord, we pray for healing in their bodies. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. The last couple months, I've had a privilege to be a part of coaching a girls' basketball team. And I alluded to this a few weeks ago, where they have asked me to have a different role there. And the role that I am playing in these girls' life is being their spiritual mentor. To me, that's a great task to have and a great compliment that they see something in me that they want me to pass on to these kids. And I'm not dealing with just kids that grew up in that Baptist home or a Christian background. I'm dealing with all sorts of kids from different backgrounds. And so I've been able to go through some teachings in the book of Psalms. Every Tuesday and every Thursday night that we meet, they've requested me to go through some verses in Psalms, take about 10, 15 minutes of practice time, and we do that right off the bat. And as we begin doing these things, God's begin to speak to my heart about some issues going through the book of Psalms. And it just so happens to be this past week, Psalms has been my personal devotion, and I've looked forward to that. This particular week, I was in this chapter that we just read, Psalms chapter number 42, and I was able to give a brief 5, maybe 7 minute message to these girls to be an encouragement to them throughout the week. And I hope that as we do these things, it's not something that's just done for a few moments and they listen and they're attentive to these things, but our goal is that they would have such a desire after practice that they would go home and they would begin to look up these things in God's Word for themselves. That's our whole goal there. And so I was able to give them just a brief thing of talking about here in verse number 1, their desire. Where is their desire placed? Is it in God or is it in a world? And I can only answer those questions for me because I know me. I don't know them outside of basketball. I don't know if they have a deep relationship with God. I don't know if they read God's Word. I don't know those things. But I do know this. God's Word is powerful so that even when you preach it or teach it, God's going to do the work. And we might not see the work within those 5 minutes, but we can see that work maybe 5 years down the road or maybe 10 years down the road. And hopefully that will be the case here. As we read this verse here, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." We see here the psalmist's desire to have a tremendous relationship, and let's put friendship in there as well, with the Lord. I believe, first of all, that we ought to desire to have a friendship with God. I believe there's only one time in Scripture where it's referred to as one man being a friend of God, and that man was called Abraham. And so we see here, for illustration, I'm going to use the deer. The deer is a beautiful creature. Would we all agree with that? I would agree that it is a beautiful creature. I enjoy looking at them, and from time to time, I enjoy eating them. They are good. Matter of fact, I just finished up part of a deer yesterday and was good for my belly. So deers are beautiful creatures, and they're delicious to eat as well. And it's of a creature that thousands of people, when they are seen wherever they're at in their habitat, will stop and they'll take pictures of them just for their pure beauty. I've been watching this show the last couple weeks. I don't know if anybody has heard this, but it's called Northwoods Law. And it's dealing with the DNR up in New Hampshire. I believe that's where it's at. And they deal with all sorts of wildlife. And one of the biggest things that they deal with up there is moose. Moose is pretty heavy up there, and they will eventually cross out into the highways. And they, too, are an attraction for people, to where when they are seen, people will stop their cars. It doesn't matter what type of weather it is. It can be rain, snow, sleet. And what will they do? They will get out, and they will begin to take pictures of them. That's what we do. That's our natural instinct. And we have cameras that are readily available to us this day, because every single one of us that has a cell phone has a camera in it. Matter of fact, our cell phones are basically cameras that allow us to talk. That's really all they are when you think about those things. Typically, a deer will never wander too far from a pond, a creek, or even a riverbed for this reason. They know the importance of water for survival. It's one of the key ingredients for them. From September, about the middle of September to the middle of January, these animals that God created are hunted for food. And many hunters are successful in their hunts. Some hunters will pass on a deer due to the size that they see at that particular time. And what do you mean by that? Why the size? Some people will go out and hunt, and they will be different. They don't want it for food at that particular time, even though when they kill it, they will. But they're wanting the antlers. The bigger the antlers are, the better the story for them. A few of you that have been to camp, their pulpit that they have, I believe, is a rack from a deer meal. Am I correct on that one? Elk? It's an elk? It's a good story. It's a deer meal. We'll let you have the elk for a minute because you don't want to ruin my illustration. But anyway, they will pass on deer because they want bigger antlers. In other words, they're just waiting for the big one. As we go on from this illustration, let's keep going further. It says, as I've written down here for illustration, millions of dollars, and this is a fact, millions of dollars are spent in these few months just for men and women, we'll do this as well, to go on hunts. Well, what will they spend their money on? I'll give you some examples. Some will spend their money on multiple licenses. You have and it depends on some states, you'll have a rifle season, you'll have a muzzle loader season, you'll have a shotgun season. I think in the state of Iowa, we have two shotgun seasons. They're both for a week long. And then you have your avid hunters who like more of a natural kill, and they're the bow hunters. And that's what they do. And so they'll spend money on those things. And an average license just for a week of shotgun hunting, I believe, if I remember correctly, it was around $27 to $30. That's just for that particular hunt. So they'll spend money on those. And then some, they will go out and they will want to spend money on the proper gear. And meaning by the proper gear, they will want the proper gear because they will want to blend into the surroundings that they are in. In other words, they want to camouflage themselves. And so they'll go out and they'll spend hundreds of dollars on the right gear to have for the conditions that are for them for that type of the year. So they'll spend that money. Let's go on a little bit further. They'll spend money on food because hunters are not out there just for an hour. They're out there for hours at a time. Some guys that are real nuts about this will go out at the crack of dawn, and then they'll come home just before it turns dark. They spend many hours in a deer stand just to get a deer. And we'll spend money on the fuel. Fuel's not cheap. I don't know if you noticed this, but fuel has gone up about 25 cents in the last 2 weeks. And if you're driving a big 4x4 pickup, it's more expensive than driving a little Caprice. Gas is expensive. And they do this so that they can get to the location that they think is best. By the way, they do a lot of research on the areas where they're going to be. It also goes to the point where they will lease ground. I was talking to a friend of mine that I met while I was in Israel this past couple years. I talked to him this past week, and he was telling me about the thousands of dollars that he invests on leasing ground. And then he'll get that money back as he allows guys to come in and pay him to hunt the ground that he leases. There's a lot of money that takes place. And then I just recently heard deer are being raised. And as they're being raised into captivity, once they reach a full size of maturity, they will be released out into the wild for guided hunts. So we're talking about expenses here. I personally know an individual who spends roughly around, this might not sound like a much, like much to a lot of folks, but it's a lot of money to me. But I personally know an individual who spends $1,600 a year just in a few short months to go out and to hunt deer. And the deer that I just recently talked about being raised, as they're released into captivity, I just recently heard through a good friend of mine that, matter of fact, his parents are involved in this. his parents actually raise deer in Kansas, and they send him out for these guided hunts. And once that deer reaches the mature level for him to go out, that deer itself will guarantee them anywhere between $4,000 to $7,000. Millions of dollars are being forked into this sport. But I want you to see the passion and the desire that the hunter has for this sport that they are involved in. You can see that take place. A desire so big, they will spend thousands, and throughout the world, they will spend millions just for a few months. They will also go to great lengths from studying the weather patterns. I just asked a friend of mine for a favor this week, a huge favor. And he says, "Chad, I don't know if I can do that." See, he takes the whole month of November off for these particular hunts. And I said, "What will prohibit you from doing this?" He goes, "I've studied the pattern of the moon. And it's supposed to be a good hunting that week." And the thing I noticed right there is his interest is in hunting. That's his passion. That's his desire. A deer isn't an easy animal to hunt. I've hunted deer on a couple occasions, and it's not easy. The best way to have deer in your home is to pay somebody to go out and to shoot it for you, and to have them process it for you and give you the meat. That is the best way. By the way, I found out that you don't even have to pay them at times. They just give it to you because you tell them how much you like it, and they make up all these recipes, and, hey, Chad, you want to try this? It works, folks. I get a lot of free deer meat. It really works. But a deer isn't an easy animal to hunt. By the way, any animal that you hunt is not easy. One of the animals, creatures that I loved hunting growing up is pheasants. That was always a sport that we did as boys growing up. Dad would always take us out hunting pheasants. And I knew why he did that. That's so he can drive and look at all the scenery, and we had to look for the color in the bushes. But it was good times. I do remember one time that we're in the back of the station wagon that I used to fall asleep in on these trips. I remember one particular time Dad shot a bird, and I think Grandpa was with us as well, if I remember that. And they didn't kill the bird all the way. And we're in the back of that station wagon, and that bird begins to rise up, and the next thing I hear out of my dad's mouth, "Grab the bird and wring its neck." Boy, that'll damage you for a lifetime. When you're only 8 years old, maybe 10 years old at the time. Fun stories, good memories, I will tell you that. But animals aren't easy to hunt for this reason. They're very smart. Deer, they have a great sense of smell. And I say that for a reason, because men will go out and they will drench their clothes in deer urine. They actually have it at the store to where you can do those things. Ladies, God bless you for putting up with a husband that goes out and buys urine and puts it on his clothes. Weird folks that we are. They have a great sense of smell. They're very quick. One of the things that I like to do is when I see a deer is to spook it and just to watch it dart off into great speed. And then when a hurdle or a fence comes along the way, the quickness that they have to jump those things is just amazing. They're quick, they're agile, and not to mention their hearing is amazing. Just one little crack of the shotgun being loaded up can scare a deer off and ruin a hunt for the hunter. So they're easily spooked. To my point, why am I telling you this about the deer? Because God has a great lesson for us to learn. When a deer is hunted and being chased, their instincts kick in. And immediately, they begin to make their mad dash. And they run and they run. And some will run for hundreds of yards. Some will run for a mile or two. because of the fact of them getting spooked. And where are they running to? They're running from a place of danger back to their place of comfort and stability. So they'll run until they know that they are safe. I failed to mention earlier, where do deer usually tend to gather and make a home? They usually never wander far from a supply of water. Water for deer is very important for survival. No different than for you and I, for we need water. We need water every single day of our lives to keep us going. But it's in the water where deer get the minerals and where they'll get the nutrients that they need to survive. See, their instincts kick in. Well, why is this fact so important? When a deer is hunted or being chased, he begins to run for his very survival. With that being said, the deer's blood begins to pump very rapidly. Do I have any runners in here? When you begin to run or have a fast walk, what do you notice that takes place? Your heart begins to pump faster because the blood's trying to get there to supply the need and the oxygen that you have. That takes place. Fatigue will begin to set in. You'll become tired because you're not geared to run for miles at a time. That's just natural. You'll get fatigued. You'll begin to wear out. The third thing that will begin to happen, you'll begin to sweat profusely. You can't stop those things. But the fourth thing, something begins to happen, and then you realize your need for water. These girls, we put them through a grueling 2.5 hours of practice. It's a lot of conditioning because in basketball, you do a lot of running. You run, you stop, you run, you stop. And that's really good for the heart. And so as we begin to do those things, I always hear these girls, "Coach, coach, can we have water? I need water. I'm going to die." I kid you not, they're so dramatic on some things. And that's just natural for them. And I'll be honest with you, man, I get thirsty watching them. It wears me out. And so we allow them to have water. Why? Because if they don't get the water that they need, they're going to collapse somewhere during our practice. They need water. It's important for them to survive. So the blood begins to pump rapidly to the heart. While this is being done, the body of the deer that is under attack by the heat, the deer then, when overheated, can easily die. His own actions that he took to flee from the hunter could lead to his very death that he was trying to avoid. Imagine that. Verse 1 says it again, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." So as the hart panteth for the water, meaning when in the heat of the chase, it is wanting to get to a place of comfort. Doesn't that sound familiar to all of us? That place for a deer is where? The water brooks. The cool stream that is there for them to get their comfort. But let's look at the last part of this verse. It goes on and says, "So panteth my soul after thee, O God." So in this last part of this verse, we see what our desire should be. And that desire should be our soul panting after God. Meaning we, like the deer, where is their comfort is in the waters. Our comfort should be in His refreshing grace. And I would say amen to that. Verse 2, it goes on. It says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So verse 2 shows where the desires of our hearts should be. I know where my desires are at times. I don't know where your desires are. But I also know where, on other occasions, The desires of my heart will leave from the Lord and will go to other desires as well. And that's not a place for me to be in. But our desires should be in the Lord. So often we search for the things in this world that cannot quench the thirst. And that's a horrible mistake for a believer, which is why we will never be content when pursuing the things of this world. But yet that's a hard philosophy for all of us to figure out. For example, this is going to sound funny to some, but for example, pretzels are good to eat, would we not agree? Matter of fact, their biggest time of the sales are during the holiday times. Most vendors will push the sale of pretzels. I remember that when I was a vendor years ago, they told me, Chad, you've got to get these pretzels out. This is the time of the year that we make our money on them. And they would push it on me to get it into these stores and to sell them. But pretzels are good to eat, but that's dependent upon the person. I understand those things. But one thing that I do know, eating pretzels will make one thirsty. These pretzels make me thirsty, some might say. So what happens after we drink or eat some pretzels? We drink water to quench our thirst, because that's what it does. You got bread that will dry out your mouth, and then you got the salt that will make you thirsty. So we drink the water to quench our thirst. But here's the problem. We keep going back to that, and it creates more thirst. Your thirst will never be quenched while you continuously eat pretzels. Well, what are you trying to say? Stop eating the pretzels. Well, what are you trying to say in spirituality here? Stop searching for happiness in the world, because it'll never quench your thirst. The Holy Spirit will. God wants our soul to thirst for Him. The same desire that a hunter puts into the hunt, we as believers should desire the Word of God to quench our thirst. That's what we should desire. We desire so many things of this world, and we have so much knowledge of the things of this world. And in recent days, we have more knowledge of what takes place in this world than we actually do about the Word of God. And as a believer, when that happens, we do ourselves a great disservice. I said earlier, my desire in life has changed, and that's to help you fall in love with God more and more every time I preach the Word of God. That's my desire. And if I don't do that, then I fail God. These verses here are showing, or it may cause one to examine your or his relationship with God. What do you mean? You might know of God, but let me ask you this question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him on a personal level? Does your soul pant for Him like the deer that panteth for the water? Not all, but some believers have no idea what it means to pursue a relationship with God. Well, how do you know that? I've been around for a long time. I grew up in a preacher's home. I grew up in church. I've learned to see things. And I know that there are some who have salvation. But after salvation, that's where it stops, and they don't desire to have a relationship with God. Why has that been taking place? Because their desires have been in the wrong place. They have no thirst for Him. But the great news about this is God is near, waiting for you to desire to have a relationship with Him. The Creator of this universe, the One who spoke us into existence, the One who has allowed us to have a home with Him for eternity in His home, has a desire to have a relationship, has a desire to have fellowship with you. I personally don't know of any other king who has that desire for the people that are under him. I don't know of any other king. How's your thirst for him? God is near. He's waiting. David was a man just like you and me. He failed on many occasions. We read of many failures in the Word of God about him. But the important thing is David returned to God. He returned to God. You don't always have to stay away from God, but you can return to him. There's a song that I have fallen in love with these past few years that my wife has sang here on occasions, and it means so much to me. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength and shield, to you alone that my spirit yield. You are all that my heart desire, and I long to worship thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've allowed us to have. Lord, my desire has not always been in the right place. It's not always been on your thoughts. It's not always been on your will for my life. But God, I do know that you are always working. And so God, I pray that as you have challenged my heart this week and as you've opened up my eyes, showing me where my true desires have been of lately, God, I pray and I ask for your forgiveness. And I pray from henceforth that I will continue to search to have a greater relationship with you. That I would learn to love you more than I loved you the day before. Lord, that is my heart's desire. God, I pray that you bless us as we leave from here tonight. We thank you. We ask it in your name. Amen.